The Pandemics and Public Emergencies Committee will now come to order. Rose, please call the roll.
Chair Perez.
Here.
Vice Chair Caruso.
Here.
Ranking Member Slosberg King.
Here.
Representatives Bell.
Here.
Benjamin. Byrd. Costello. Here. Cheney.
Here.
Driscoll. Fisher. Here. Gilombardo. Here. Goff Marcel.
Here.
Mariano. Here. Mooney. Here. Smith, excused. Snyder.
Here.
Trabuzzi.
Here.
Zika.
Present.
Ex officio Williams.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members, we might see a new face on the committee. Representative Smith isn't here, and we hope he feels better. But in accordance with Rule 7.7, we have the distinguished Representative Williams, who has joined us as an ex officio voting member of this committee. So welcome to the committee, Representative Williams. We are so happy to have you. We're gonna get right to it. We're going to start with Little Italy's finest, Representative DeSigli. HB 215, emergency orders prohibiting religious services or activities. Representative DeSigli, you are recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're too kind. Good morning, members. House Bill 215 provides that no emergency order may expressly prohibit religious institutions from conducting regular religious services or activities. Let me give you a very simple example. So during the pandemic, local emergency orders kept stores like Lowe's. This is not a knock on Lowe's. I'm a frequent shopper to Lowe's. Lowe's was able to remain open. However, the local emergency order, it said that a local church was not allowed to have 10 people congregate, which in my opinion, that is a violation of freedom of religion, which is protected in the First Amendment of the Constitution. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. We are going to get into some amendments. Do you have any questions on the bill before we get into the amendments, members? Okay, let's get into your amendment. Amendment barcode 719009 by Representative DeSigli. Representative DeSigli, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The amendment simply changes some words. It adds on line 19, directly or indirectly prohibit a religious institution from conducting, and of course, then the rest of the language in the bill remains the same. That is the amendment.
Any questions on the amendment to Representative DeSigli? Seeing none, any public testimony on the amendment? None on the amendment. Is there? Aaron DiPietro, Florida Family Policy Council, Florida Family Action, waves in support. Okay, members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate the amendment? Seeing none, Representative DeSigli, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
All in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. All opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. We are now back on the bill. Is there public testimony on the bill? Aaron DiPietro, Florida Family Policy Council, Florida Family Action. You're recognized to speak, sir.
Aaron DiPietro, Florida Family Policy Council, Florida Family Action. Thank you, Chairman Perez. I rise here today in support of House Bill 215. I thank Representative DeSigli for his leadership on this issue. We very much support equalizing and leveling the playing field for religious institutions in comparison to other corporations and businesses under public emergencies and pandemic situations. We believe that this will best properly preserve both public health measures against properly balanced religious liberty issues. Again, we encourage the committee to support House Bill 215. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Devin Graham, American Atheists. You are recognized.
Thank you. I think I speak for everyone here when I say that we're all really tired of this pandemic and how it has uprooted every aspect of our lives. You have members of this committee that can't be here today because of the pandemic. And I think I can confidently say that most of us did what we were supposed to do. We cared about our community and our neighbors whose health was compromised and probably wouldn't survive a bout of the illness. And while most of us did the right thing, some didn't. And they twisted the public health measures that were meant to keep us safe into a form of religious persecution. I'm proud to live in a country that allows us to worship however and whomever we please. Under normal circumstances, there should be little, if any, restrictions on our religious freedoms. But we've lost over 62,000 Floridians to this pandemic. For the sake of our communities, I think we can and should expect some changes in how we live our lives. I've heard the argument that if we can walk around Publix, we can sit in the pews. There may be an argument there, but regardless of whom you worship, you still need food to survive. But however, we're not just talking about Publix. This bill does not distinguish between what stays open and what doesn't in order for religious organizations to stay open. It says all entities. So we're also being a bit short-sighted, and this is for all emergencies and not just the pandemic. So should this bill pass, if a chemical plant explodes and decimates a town and covers it in toxic sludge, and a hospital needs to stay open to treat patients, so can churches. There's a Category 5 hurricane, and fire stations and ambulance services need to stay open, so can churches. If there's a terrorist attack, and a police station needs to be operational, so can churches. You are putting our communities and the congregants of these churches at risk and taking away the state's ability to keep its citizens safe. Please oppose this bill.
Thank you. Michael Sheedy, Florida Conference of Catholic Bishops, waves in support. Okay, members, we are on debate. Are those for this? We ask for questions on the bill before we add to the amendments. And then we ask for questions on the amendments as well. Is this for this bill? Okay, great. Paul Daughter, Republican Liberty Caucus.
Yeah, I support this bill.
Oh, thank you for being here, sir. Ira Paul, Republican Liberty Caucus. Okay, great. Members, we're in debate on the bill. So if you'd like to debate on the bill, members, now is your chance. Representative DeSigby, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll close by saying, according to the staff analysis, I think it's an important point to make. April 2021, the United States Supreme Court granted injunctive relief in a challenge to California's emergency order that restricted, among other things, religious gatherings. This is about our First Amendment. This is about codifying and protecting our freedom to practice religion in the state of Florida. So with that, members, I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you, Representative Rosa. Please call the roll on this bill.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
Representatives Bell.
Yes.
Benjamin.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Casello.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Driscoll. Fisher.
Yes.
Gilombardo.
Yes.
Goff Marcel.
No.
Mariano.
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
No.
Smith? Snyder?
Yes.
Trabuzzi?
Yes.
Williams?
No.
Zika?
Yes.
Yeas, 3 nays.
By your vote, HB 215 is reported favorably as amended. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Members, we're going to move right into HB 411 by Representative Mello, Evidentiary Standards for Actions Arising During an Emergency. Welcome to the committee, Representative Mello. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, members. HB 411 protects independent contractors and ensures business owners aren't punished for taking action and giving out training, PPE, or other materials during a state of declared emergency. Under current law, even if companies wish to provide safety materials, they might hold back for fear of potentially losing their businesses. This provides a direct negative impact that leaves workers worse off. We've seen examples of companies who have been forced to charge their independent contractors for safety equipment during the COVID-19 pandemic, not necessarily because they want to, but because they have very real concerns over the potential negative legal consequences of those actions. The intent of this bill is to provide clear guidance so that employers and independent contractors are protected. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions of the bill? Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for bringing the bill.
Can you tell me more about the legal concerns that they have with regards to providing emergency equipment to independent contractors or employees?
Representative Mello.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I would like to start by saying this bill was HB 579 that passed the House floor last session, and nothing has changed in this bill. I can give you an example. As a real estate broker, I have agents who are independent contractors. During the pandemic, I gave them training on going to an open house and protecting themselves and protecting the members of the public that came in during an open house. Under current law, that would change their status. By me giving them hand sanitizer, by me giving them a face mask, by me giving them training, that changes their classification. I know Representative Escamani had concerns last session over the position of the Department of Labor. They are neutral on this bill.
Members, any other questions? All right, seeing none, is there any public testimony? Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate on this bill? Seeing none, Representative Mello, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Chair.
Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Casello?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Driscoll?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Gil Lombardo?
Yes.
Golf Marcel?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
Yes.
Smith? Snyder?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
Yes, 18 yeas, 0 nays.
Fire vote HB 411 is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Mello.
Thank you.
Moving right along, we will move into PCB PP 22-01, Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund by Representative Trabulsi. Representative Trabulsi, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, this PCB, the Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund, preserves the legislature's power to appropriate. First, it establishes that the legislature's intent for funding disaster relief or response is to first come from funds specifically appropriated to state and local agencies. After those funds have been used, the governor may use funds in the Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund. Finally, if additional funds are needed, the PCB requires the governor to submit a budget amendment, which is subject to approval of the Legislative Budget Commission. The additional funds must be directly related to the declared disaster or emergency. And members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Trabulsi. Members, any questions on the bill? Any questions? Yep. Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning.
Morning.
Rep. Trabulsi, could you cite to any examples of precedent for where we've given the governor this kind of authority to spend this kind of money?
Representative Trabulsi.
Thank you for that question, Representative Driscoll. So in the past, the governor has had the ability to reach into general funds through the Legislative Budget Committee. And in the past several years, what happens is you have to go through a process where you submit to the committee. And what this is doing is actually putting a fund together for a rainy day so that they are available and we're not dipping into other funds such as trust funds or other funds that have not, that we don't want to dip into. Mm-hmm.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it sounds like maybe the answer is no. We can't cite to any other examples where we've done this in the past, given the governor $1 billion.
Representative Trabulsi.
One moment, please. Thank you, Representative Driscoll. I'm sorry for the delay. Those funds are already readily available to him at this time to dip into. This just sets up a specific fund for him to go into rather than pull from other separate funds.
Hmm. And just to add to that, Representative, last year we put $1 billion into this fund through the GAA as well.
I remember. Follow up, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chair.
You're recognized.
Speaking prophetically. Listen, let me ask Rep. Tribolsi, so what's the basis or the rationale for the initial amount of $1 billion transferred into this fund?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you. So over the past few emergencies, if we look at Irma and if we look at COVID and we look at Hurricane Michael, the average cost of these emergencies was about $3 billion. So starting with the beginning of the bill, if you look that the governor has to first deplete state and local emergency funds, and then we're kind of putting some guardrails on, if you will. So we're setting up this fund of $1 billion, and he has to deplete that $1 billion before he comes back to the legislature to ask for more money. He can do that now. He can come to the legislature time and time again and ask for these dollars, but what it's doing is allowing him to upfront have these dollars to use in the state of a declared disaster and allowing him to use those freely before he continues to come to the legislature and deplete other funds.
Thank you.
Representative Fisher. I'm sorry, I didn't know you needed another question. Representative Driscoll, yeah. for a follow-up.
Thank you. What is it that's broken that we're trying to fix?
I think for the last 2 years in this committee, what we've been doing is trying to prepare for pandemics and emergencies, right? The name of the committee. So we have a really robust budget this year in particular. So I think what we're trying to do with this PCB is really set up a designated fund for a rainy day.
Mr. Chair?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Rep, I think I might not be asking the questions in the best way, but what I'm trying to get at is, you know, we all just went through this emergency and we've gone through hurricanes, et cetera. Can you tell me of an example where the governor needed money and didn't get it? Whether this governor or go back a few governors, if you like, where the governor needed money in an emergency and wasn't able to get it from the legislature.
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Representative. No, I can't tell you of an example where the governor has needed money and has not been able to get it. But I can tell you that there have been times where perhaps, even though we can't sweep the Sadowski Fund now, that we're not going to be able to sweep those funds through this particular PCB, at least not until state and local funds and this $1 billion are depleted.
Representative Driscoll.
Are there any reporting requirements or legislative oversight for expenditures made by the governor from the EPR fund?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't hear you. Can you please repeat that?
Yes. Are there any reporting or legislative oversight requirements for the governor's spending from the EPR fund?
Thank you, Representative. They are to be directly related to the declared disaster.
That's
Representative Driscoll for the landing.
Thank you. I don't think that was responsive to the question. I understand that the bill says what he has to spend it for. My question is, once he spends that or as he spends that, are there any requirements in the bill for legislative oversight or anything that he has to come back and report to the legislature about how he spends this $1 billion that we give him?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Chair. No, there's no specific reporting requirements.
Okay.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe I didn't catch it. I'm struggling to understand, I guess, the real need for it. We're the legislature. We provide oversight. And so we've never denied, in an emergency or a pandemic, we've never denied a governor's request for additional funds. So this is why.
Why? And I'll transfer that to Representative Tribolsi, but it's very similar to the question that Representative Driscoll asked. And just to give you guys a little bit of a background, this is money that the governor would be able to use without this bill passing. Currently, the governor has the ability to use that money, and then he comes back. What we're saying is that this $1 billion that's going to be put into this fund is going to be will be used first by the governor, and then he would have to come back and explain his reporting, just like any other trust fund's expenses would have to be reported. There is no different requirement between this trust fund and any of the other tens of trust funds that we have voted on in the budget year after year. So there really isn't any difference in requirement, more so to Driscoll's, Representative Driscoll's question. And as far as the purpose is concerned, if Representative Tribolsi wants to add on, she's more than welcome to, but I think that has been answered as well as she could. Correct, Representative? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes. I will say that the governor's had to, when he's requested money, he's had to go back to the legislator time and time again, every time that he asks for money. And this just really cuts down on the amount of times that he has to go back to the legislature until he goes through that $1 billion. So up front, he's able to use those emergency funds without having to go through red tape to get it in the beginning.
Representative Benjamin.
Is there an amount that we tend to cap the funds at in the trust, that an amount that we tend to fund the trust up to, so that there's not unfettered discretion or unfettered use of the monies?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Chair. So are you asking if he can only spend a certain amount of that $1 billion?
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm asking, today it's a billion. Are we going to keep it at a billion or less, or are we going to raise the amount that we place in this fund? You know, are we going to keep the fund at a particular amount so that we limit the amounts being spent?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Chair. So we are funding this at $1 billion. He can spend that down. When he's spent that down, he can come back to the legislature for more. But it is a budget line item, and we're not going to dictate how he spends that.
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, I did have some questions that I tried to get answers before the committee, but I'll go ahead and ask now. We had a discussion about money being available for disaster preparedness, and this is setting money aside for emergency response. Can you distinguish between the two of those, please?
Representative Tribolsi.
I'm sorry, I did not hear your question. I apologize.
We had a discussion about the funds that were already available and how they were available for disaster preparedness. This is setting up for emergency response. Can you distinguish the difference, please?
The difference between the monies that we have and the monies in the emergency response fund?
Disaster preparedness and emergency response.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Fisher. And thank you for your reaching out prior to the committee. I apologize. I thought that I had answered your questions. So I believe you're asking which comes first. So the governor will have to spend state and local funds prior to going into the emergency response fund. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Thank you.
Members and questions, Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, thank you for putting a finer point on some of the questions that I had earlier with respect to reporting requirements. I was just looking in Article 3 of the Constitution, where it talks about the legislature and our appropriation powers, and it talks about the creation of trust funds, and it puts some parameters around trust funds and how they can be spent, how long they can exist, et cetera. but in nowhere did in that provision did I see anything that talks about the requirements of reporting that trust funds have to do with respect to their spending. So I was just wondering, would you be able to maybe elaborate for us, for the committee, you know, where that responsibility for the governor to report on how he spends those trust funds, the trust fund money would come from? Where is that based in the law?
It would come from the same article of all other trust funds. It wouldn't separate from Article 2 at all. It would be identical.
It's not there.
What do you mean it's not there? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a mention of Article 2 or of the Constitution or of the specific requirements of the trust fund? What is it specifically that you're looking for that maybe I can help answer the question?
That'd be great. What I understood you to say is that there are certain requirements for trust fund spending and certain reporting that has to be made. What I'm saying is that in my own search, and granted, I wasn't able to survey all of Florida law, but I was able to look at Article 3 where it talks about the legislature and our responsibilities with handling money, and it talks about trust funds. And nowhere in our Constitution does it talk about a requirement to report how trust fund monies are spent. But you indicated that the governor would be, this trust fund would be subject to all other, the same requirements that all other trust funds are. So I guess I'm just asking, you know, where is that? Can you point us to statute or something in Constitution that says that the governor would have to report in the same way? Because I guess what I'm building up to is if we can't find that in the law, maybe we should amend this bill right here and right now to make sure that we make it clear that the governor would be subject to the same sort of reporting requirements as any other trust funds.
Representative Tribulsi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Driscoll. Right now, the governor can spend all of our general revenue if he declares in an emergency. This bill actually limits what he can spend unless the legislator have more input and oversight over disaster spending, and it is going to be overseen just like any other trust fund is.
Yep.
Representative Driscoll.
And I get that. What I'm asking is where are we saying we're saying like any other trust fund is, where is it in the Constitution or somewhere else in Florida law that talks about how these trust funds are to be administered and how we're supposed to follow up on how the funds were spent? Where's that?
Representative Tribulsi.
Representative Driscoll, thank you. I can get back to you on that. I don't have that information at this time.
Mm-hmm. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know I'm sitting in as a new member covering, but I'm just confused at this point. Are there any other trust funds that's out there that don't have an oversight committee to control the spending of the money other than this one that we are ready to vote on?
Representative Williams, let's keep it to the bill at hand. Other trust funds discussed outside of this bill are out of discussion for purposes of this bill. If you have any questions pertaining to the details of this specific bill,
okay, so I rephrase the question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a trust fund that we're setting up to give the governor the ability to spend $1 billion without reporting back to the state. Is that the case?
Representative Tribulsi.
Thank you, Chair. Trust funds can only be used in the manner in which the provisions are laid out. And this particular trust fund says that the governor can only spend these dollars on a declared emergency, and that's how it is overseen.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Williams.
Okay. He can only spend them on declared of an emergency, but there's nobody, no oversight committee, no one else that he has to report to. He can just spend at will.
I'm not understanding the question, Representative Williams. We're talking about oversight of the spendings before he asks for the legislature to refund the trust fund, or are you saying before the expenses are done? The reason I ask that, because before the expenses are made, currently there is no requirement for him to have to spend that money. Currently, he is allowed to spend that money and then comes back to the legislature in order for it to be replenished of what the initial expenses were. What this trust fund is doing is it is putting monies into a trust fund in order for him to expense, and then after that use is completed by the governor, he would have to return to the legislature in order for that to be refunded. Currently, there isn't even a process for that. He is able to spend that money without any requirement of having to come back to the legislature. I think what's happening here, respectfully, is I think you're trying to look for some guardrails, which is what this bill is doing. Before this bill passing, potentially, which is my expectation, there aren't the requirements of the guardrails that you are asking for. We are implementing them here.
by asking for a trust fund to actually have the monies and for him to have to come back to the legislature in order for that trust fund to be funded once again, which currently does not exist.
Mr. Chair, follow up?
Of course.
Okay, and I'm not requesting about a guardrails. I'm very confused because if these measurements are already in place, he's already has the ability to spend without putting something else in place. I'm just trying to figure out why are we putting it in place if he already has the ability to do what he needs to do in case of an emergency.
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, we have a very robust budget this year, and we are saving for a rainy day. We are putting guardrails around some spending. We are also eliminating some of the red tape of the governor having to come back multiple times. He's come in the past 5 years, he's come back to the legislature over 500 times for money in the case of a disaster. This gives him the ability to have $1 billion up front, which he, yes, legitimately can already have access to, but he would have to come to the legislature first. This allows him the privilege to address these states of emergencies up front with a nice budget before he has to come back to us again for more dollars.
Representative,
Mr. Chair.
No problem. Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there any constraints on what can constitute a declared state of emergency in this bill?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. So emergency order declarations must indicate the nature of the emergency area or areas threatened and conditions that brought about the emergency. Recent emergency declarations for which budget amendments were received would be the opioid crisis, Zika, algae blooms, red tide, hurricanes, COVID-19, Piney Point, and Surfside.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you. So it sounds like in those prior examples, the governor was able to issue an order declaring such an emergency, and the legislature would have that opportunity to review that order and determine whether or not we agreed with whether or not that order actually referred to something that constituted a disaster or an emergency?
No,
Representative Driscoll, no.
When he comes back for the...
No. The answer is no.
So when the governor, help me understand, so when the governor declares a state of emergency and he needs to come back to the legislature to get some money, we have the authority to say yes or no, is that correct?
Correct.
So under that, Mr. Chair, it sounds to me like we can look at that order and say, yes, this is meritorious, or no, this is not, meaning that we would have had the opportunity to actually see what the emergency is before he gets the money, is that correct?
If the funds were depleted in the trust fund and the governor came back to the legislature for more money, then the legislature would have the decision if to refund that trust fund by $1 billion or whatever new amount it would be. Distinctively different than the ability of the governor to call an emergency order.
I think, Mr. Chair, you're getting ahead of me. I'm not talking about what would happen under this once this bill passes. I'm talking about the way that it is right now, if we could back up a step.
Questions about how it stands right now, respectfully, Representative Driscoll, is for your own time and your own research. We are here to answer questions on what this bill would do, what the current stance of the governor's ability or inability would have to be done on your own time.
Respectfully, Mr. Chair, I humbly disagree. To the extent that we're looking at a piece of legislation to change prospectively how we do things in the state, at a minimum, we should be able to have the conversation about how it compares and contrasts to what we do right now, which is the conversation that I'm trying to have. And I know these aren't easy questions to answer. And maybe they shouldn't be, right? We're talking about $1 billion. But if we're talking about $1 billion, we really do need those answers. So to restate my question, and I'll try to do it in a more direct way, what I'm trying to understand is, under the way that things proceed currently, if the governor declared a state of emergency and he came back and he was looking for funding, at a minimum, it seems to me that the legislature, looking at the face of that order on its face, would be able to have the opportunity to see what the governor's thinking and what he believes constitutes a disaster or an emergency. Is that how it works now? Like, at least we have the opportunity to see what he put in the order, right? And if you want to compare and contrast, just to go ahead and pull that thread through, it seems to me that, by comparison and by contrast, under Rep. Trabolsi's bill, if it were to pass, we would not have that opportunity to know ahead of time what the governor thinks is a disaster or an emergency,
right?
So
what's the question? Because we're getting into debate. What's the question?
My question is, see if I can put this more succinctly.
Excuse me?
I'm trying to put it more succinctly because I know I've been trying to get at it. I guess my question is, under this bill, would the legislature have an opportunity to review what the governor declared as a state of emergency before he could come and get these funds?
We would be able to see what the state of emergency's details entail, but we would not be able to tell the governor what he can or cannot decide is a state of emergency.
Thank you. That answered my question.
Any more questions, members? We are moving along. Representative Schlossberg or Benjamin? Which one?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if this was asked, but what's the basis, the rationale for the $1 billion transferred? Were there estimates or projections developed for anticipated expenditures?
Representative Trabolsi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The basis for the $1 billion was based on first depleting the state and local funds, and then looking over the past several years of public emergencies and pandemics, which equated to approximately $3 billion each, and we found that to be a relative number.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So currently we don't get to, when a governor declares an emergency, we don't get to override that declaration. And if we don't get to override that declaration, right now, if he declares an emergency, he has funds in which he can use to his discretion, correct?
That's correct.
And so this bill doesn't change any of that except that it says go to this fund first.
That is correct, Representative.
All right, thank you.
We are moving on. Any more questions, members? Okay, is there any public testimony? None. Members in debate. Representative Driscoll.
Thank you. So, members, I've not been satisfied with the answers that I've gotten today, and I hope that you feel the same way. I've noticed that as we've talked about this bill, we've said a lot, he's able to, the governor can do this, he can do this, he can do that, and we're referring to it in that way, I think because we're being referential to the current governor that's in office. And my challenge with that is we can't base that on one single governor. If we're gonna pass this law that's gonna change how we appropriate funds for a governor to use, we have to consider that not just for this current governor, but for all governors in the future. Who knows, it could be a woman someday, you never know. But I think right now we're basing it on this particular governor and what we've seen, and I don't think that's right. I think we should have a little bit of detachment as we make this decision and try to make this decision in the way that we're considering Florida's future and whether this is the right move for Florida's future. I think I heard that there are no specific legislative reporting requirements here, that the governor would be able to spend these funds and not have to come back to the legislature. I think I heard that we can't tell him what constitutes a state of an emergency. I also heard there's no example of where we've done this in the past. I've heard that the current governor had to come back over 500 times for money from the legislature. Great, I'm glad he's doing his job. That's how the system's set up. If it takes 500 times, it takes 500 times. You know, I was taking a look at Article 3, Section 19 of our Constitution, where it talks about legislative responsibilities. And we're the ones who handle appropriations. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. You know, every agency comes with their budget requests. The governor is no different. You know, I also heard that we're trying to cut down on the red tape that the governor has to go through. Members, we're not red tape. We're here to do a job, which includes handling the budget and appropriations processes. To me, this bill does not have the sort of guardrails that I would like to see. I think while it's well-intended, for me, there were just too many unanswered questions today. And if we're going to talk about $1 billion, and let's be clear, that's real money, we need to make sure that we get these important questions answered. You know, we're talking about the governor needing to come and to dip into these funds, and we're using the current governor as an example, but there are billions of dollars of federal money that's been sitting there that he's been slow to spend, even with this COVID-19 pandemic. And you know, I even asked the question, what's broken that we're trying to fix? And couldn't get a clear answer on that either. It seems that the process that we have right now is working. We've not been in a situation where we've jammed up the governor's office, that they've not been able to do what they need to do to try to, you know, help the people of Florida. And so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It ain't broke, members. We don't need to fix it. I'll be down on this bill. I encourage you to be down today as well. Thanks.
Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As an engineer and as somebody who's done emergency response in part of my career, I do see the need for this bill. I think that while I have some questions that I'm going to continue to pursue and work on answers to those and potential solutions to those, I do think that the proposal that's being put forward is a thoughtful proposal, and it is something that we should support and vote up today. One of the points that Representative Driscoll and I agree on is that when it comes to states of emergency and how we respond to those, we should consider not just who's currently in office, we should consider future office holders as well. And it's one of the reasons why I believe that states of emergency and how they're declared should be limited in certain fashions, because you never know who's going to be in office at some point. I do believe at one point we will have a female governor. I think that Lieutenant Governor Nunez would make an excellent candidate for that someday. So that's two points that Representative Driscoll and I agree on there. The last point that I would say about emergency response is that we are having a problem with our federal government. As Governor DeSantis has pointed out many times, they were flying in illegal immigrants to different parts of our state. They've stopped doing that in Jacksonville for the time being. I think if those things continue,
Chair,
I do think that a state of emergency should be declared.
Mr. Chair, could we keep the debate to the context of the bill? Mr. Chair, point of information.
I'm sorry,
we need to keep the debate to the context of the bill.
Please let him finish his debate. Go ahead, Representative Fisher.
No, my point of information is that his debate is not on the bill, Mr. Chair.
Representative Fisher, continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think if those flights continue of sending illegal immigrants into our communities, I do think that a state of emergency should be declared, and we should spend funds in order to stop that. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I close my debate.
Thank you. Members in debate. Before I hand this over, I did want to say a few words. Representative Jill Lombardo, did you want to speak? Go ahead. In debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to just be brief. I think this is a good bill. As somebody who's been, you know, this pandemic, and I've been around some of these hurricanes, I've been activated, I've been on the ground, and I've been there where when money gets depleted and you're just waiting, I've been there when the federal government has not fully declared emergency, so you're waiting and waiting and waiting because there's no funds. So this bill allows the governor the ability to be able to help the National Guard. If you've never seen the SLRC Center in Orlando, it is a massive warehouse where it is preparing for natural disasters for this state. It's not cheap, right? There's a lot of things that are involved in this, and I think this is a good bill, and thank you, Rep. Tribolsi, for this bill. Thank you.
Real quick, before we hand it over to Representative Tribolsi to close, I did want to bring up some of the comments that have been brought forth through questions and debate. When we are talking about this bill not going far enough or not having sufficient guardrails, we need to understand what we are comparing this bill to. If we want to talk about a comparison piece, the only comparison piece is the current state of dysfunction. The current state has zero guardrails. There are zero limits as to the amount of money that the governor can use. What we are doing is we are actually setting accountability to where it forces the governor, regardless if it is a he or a she, to come back to the legislature in order to refund the trust fund, which we are proposing to have $1 billion into. If we do not believe that this trust fund is working, or we do not believe that other offices are being accountable in the way that the money is being put into the trust fund and eventually used, us as the legislature will hold them accountable and have the ability to deplete the trust fund, to never use the trust fund, quite frankly, for the trust fund to not exist. So if we're going to talk about accountability, this bill is accountability. It's the reason this bill is being put forth by Representative Trabulsi. And she will be able to speak to that in a couple seconds. But it's important that we talk about accountability and what we are comparing this to. From its current state, where the governor can spend unlimited amounts of money, from state, from local, whatever it takes in order for him to be able to get to where he needs to be and where he feels comfortable. Current state, we say he because it's, that's the current sex of the governor. It's a male. And so currently he is able to use the funds as he sees fit and then come back. We are trying to set more guardrails, to use some of the terms that have been used, in order to move forward. And so with that, I do want to say this is a phenomenal bill by Representative Trabulsi. I think it is everything and every measure of accountability that we need in the legislature and with other offices that will have to use this trust fund moving forward. And with that, I do want to pass it over to Representative Trabulsi in order for her to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I would like to say that I reached out to every single committee member ahead of time, multiple days ahead of time, to ask any questions regarding this bill so that I could come completely prepared for what you had to ask. And I did feel a little bit blindsided today, and I would like to say I really don't appreciate that because I did give you the opportunity to reach out to me. We are not changing the way executive orders are declared in this bill, and if you feel that an executive order, the way that that's done, needs to be changed, then that needs to be a bill that you need to file, but that's not what's being addressed in this particular bill. Right now, the governor can spend the money any way that he sees fit in a state of emergency. This bill does not change that. But what it does do is give the governor $1 billion to spend after state and local governments have depleted their emergency funds. And that $1 billion, to speak to Representative G. Lombardo, are funds that he doesn't have to come to the legislature first to appropriate, because when we have a legislative budget commission, the governor has to submit that 7 days ahead, and the notice has to be put out 14 days prior to the meeting. Those are 14 precious days that we need to be responding to an emergency. So with this $1 billion, not only are we putting money aside for a rainy day that we can use and we have in place, that the governor doesn't have to come to us first, but as he's spending down those dollars, he can forecast and look ahead and see what he might need to come to us for in a timely manner so that we're not wasting time trying to help the citizens of our great state. Also, we will be, as other trust funds, reevaluating this trust fund every 4 years. So if it's not working, then we can fix it. But I don't think that we are not fixing something that's not broken. I think what we're doing is actually helping our citizens, helping our governor spend money better towards a pandemic or an emergency where he has funds readily available to assist us. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Representative Trabulsi. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
Representatives Bell.
Yes.
Benjamin.
No.
Byrd.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Costello.
No.
Cheney.
Yes.
Driscoll.
No.
Fisher.
Yes.
Jill Lombardo.
Yes.
Goff Marcille.
No.
Mariano.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Slosberg King.
No.
Smith. Snyder.
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Williams?
No.
Zika?
Yes.
Yeas, 6 nays.
By your vote, PCB PPE 22-01 is reported favorably. Representative Trabulsi, we're going to move over to your next bill, PCB PPE 22-02, Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, it is with the policy of the Florida that funds to meet emergencies always be available. However, there is no dedicated source for the governor to use during an emergency. This PCB establishes the Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund within the Executive Office of the Governor to serve as that primary funding source. This fund will be available to the governor during a declared state of emergency And members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions of Representative Tribolsi?
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
You're recognized, Representative Williams. Sorry, I didn't see you.
That's okay. And I do apologize. I didn't speak to you this week. I was just, you know, asked to cover for a member as of yesterday afternoon. As we put together the bill that you have prepared, are you asking us as the state legislators to remove ourselves and allow the funding to be available for the governor to use according to the bill that you have established?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This actually establishes the trust. Is that what you're speaking to?
Right. I'm going to look for it. Is it putting steps in place? That's what I'm asking.
Pardon me?
According to what I'm reading here, is putting steps in place? That's what you're stating in the bill itself?
Yes.
Okay. I'm good. Thank you.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I see in this bill, we're saying that the Emergency Preparedness and Response Fund should be terminated 4 years after the effective date of this act. Why 4 years?
Representative Tribolsi.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Representative Driscoll. Trust funds have to be reviewed every 4 years. We're not dissolving this after 4 years.
Representative Driscoll.
Would you be amenable to perhaps reviewing the trust fund earlier than 4 years, given the large amount that we're putting into the fund?
Thank you, Representative Driscoll. This is standard operating procedures for trust funds.
Representative Driscoll.
So if, let's say that the governor declared a state of emergency and it was a situation where the legislature didn't like how he spent the funds. I know on the previous bill, we talked about that if the governor didn't spend the funds in a way that we thought was appropriate, we could have the opportunity to review. Is it this 4 years provision that is what's given us that opportunity to review?
The trust fund, if it were depleted before the 4 years, we could choose to not refund the trust fund, even if the trust fund exists. It's really about the money that's allocated to the trust fund, and the money would come from the legislature as it does every budget year. You're recognized.
So then, Mr. Chair, would we have to bring a bill, I suppose, to repeal this bill to try to review the trust fund earlier? How would we be able to initiate that review, I guess, is maybe the question.
The review would be done in 4 years.
Right. So that's, Mr. Chair, that's my question. If let's say after year one, this fund is a horrible disaster, and we decide that we want to change that, and you're saying we can change it prior to 4 years? What's the mechanism
To answer the question one more time, in that scenario, you would have your vote to choose not to refund the trust fund that has been depleted in that first year.
So you're talking about the budget, Mr. Chair, through the budgeting process?
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Members in questions? Any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Any members wishing to debate?
Yep.
Representative Driscoll, you're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. We've had a lot of discussion about, I know, the prior bill, but I just want to, before we pass this next one or consider it, because I think it requires a three-fifths vote, if I'm not mistaken, you know, there might be the opportunity for us to actually pause and take some consideration about what it is that we are about to do. My concern is that questions on the prior bill, which relate to this current one, were not answered. We didn't get sufficient answers. And there were questions, very simply, confined to the subject matter of the bill. I don't think any of those questions, I know it said previously some of these are hard to answer, but actually as I reflected on it, they're not hard to answer because they're about the text of a bill. Two very short bills, including this one. It only takes up about a page and a half. But we're talking about allocating $1 billion. We should be able to do that. And yes, it merits real conversation ahead of time. You know, we've gotten into this practice in the legislature sometimes where we'll send a text, hey, I got a bill up. If you have any questions, let me know. You know, I know that I fall into that too sometimes, members. I think work our bills a little harder, especially when they're dealing with really big stuff. And this is dealing with really big stuff. We should be able to answer these questions. We should be able to understand what constitutes a state of emergency. We should be able to put some guardrails under what the governor can declare as a disaster. We should be able to put some guardrails in terms of having legislative review. Again, I don't consider the legislature to be red tape. I think we've set up this system of checks and balances to make sure that we as a legislature are appropriating funds and that we're not just giving the governor, whatever, whoever may be the governor in the future as well, a blank check. So again, this is very concerning to me. I'll be down on it today, and I encourage the membership to be down as well.
Members in debate. Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm looking at the statutes, and emergencies defined, disasters clearly defined, natural emergency, technological emergency, man-made emergencies are all well defined. And under the State Emergency Management Act, the act specifically authorizes the governor to use all resources of the state government, county governments, and municipalities as he sees fit in coping with an emergency as defined. So setting aside $1 billion at this time for immediate access by the governor under a state of emergency just seems like a reasonable and prudent thing to do. I'm going to be up on this bill. I can't see why anybody wouldn't be.
Members in debate. Representative Williams.
Williams. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be down on the bill itself also, because at this point, I know we have a lot of major problems that we already have here, and why would we wait to now to put a trust fund set aside from the ability for the governor already spend funding? We have a housing crisis that should have been taken care of. I'm from Broward County, and it's overwhelming for the housing crisis there. So as of now, looking at giving the governor an opportunity to have a trust fund that has no oversight committee to regulate the funding. As a state legislator, I feel it's my job to make sure I protect the taxpayers' money, so I will be down.
Members in debate. Representative Trabolsi, you are recognized to close on the PCB.
Thank you, Chair. Members, we are not giving the governor any more authority than he already has. I believe that he, and it's not just this governor, it's any governor prior and moving forward. I believe this is a good bill. This is a good trust fund. This is a great way to set dollars aside. And I appreciate your support. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Representative Trabolsi. Rosa, please call the roll on PCB PPE 22-02.
Chair Perez.
Yes.
Representatives Bell.
Yes.
Benjamin.
No.
Byrd. Caruso.
Yes.
Costello.
No.
Cheney.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Driscoll.
No.
Fisher.
Yes.
DeLombardo.
Yes.
Goff Marcel.
No.
Mariano. Mooney?
Yes.
Slosberg King?
No.
Smith? Snyder?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williams?
No.
Zika?
Yes.
Ten yeas, six nays.
By your vote, PCB PPE 22-02 is reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Trabolsi, for both of your bills today. With no further business, Representative Fisher rises, we adjourn.